March 25th, 2020. How many Zoom meetings have you been on this week? As interesting, how many had you been on before this week? Hope the quality on this is fine. We're no longer in the studio. We are recording this live from the home office locally. COVID-19, here's what we know. 255 people locally have tested positive. That's up 72 from 2 days ago. Illinois has 1,535 positive cases as of Tuesday. The state of Missouri is in shutdown until at least April 17th, probably longer. As of 11:15 today, grocery store employees will receive $2 to $3 more per hour. This is while stores are also putting up plexiglass protectors at each checkout. If you fish, skip the permit. All requirements have been waived. Go out and have some fun, stay 6 feet apart, and enjoy the outdoors. Sporting events are still postponed indefinitely. My wife and daughter sit on laptops across from each other at the dining room table. Anna doing her job remotely. Grace finishing up seventh grade. Let's just say they are currently out walking the dog, and that poor animal has no idea why it can't come back home sooner. Nationally, still no sign of relief for Italy. Trump continues to implode with his need to say everybody is going back to work soon. That being said, seems like the Fed did step up. As of 3 o'clock today, the White House Senate have reached an agreement on a $2 trillion spending bill. Lots of particulars I'm not smart enough to break out. Bullet points, folks are getting individually $600 to $1,200 a piece if they file taxes in 2018. We got $100 billion going to hospitals, $350 billion assisting small businesses. State unemployment benefits up around $600 per week per person. Asked why did this take a couple weeks longer than it should have? At the end of the day, we needed to put in black and white how Trump and other government bigwigs could not write themselves government-funded loans. Throw up here. So today's episode makes you hope for the future. If you do not know about Earth Dance Organic Farm in Ferguson, sit back. Get your learned on for the next 45 minutes or so. Even before these crazy times, their work was important. Now it's imperative. Molly Rockman, Tiana Glass, Earth Dance Organic Farm School. The spotlight is now yours.
Go to Overtime. Overtime with Oliver, with my dad. Tell your friends.
Nothing to it but do it. Tiana, before we start, I need to let you in on a little secret. Molly and I have something in common.
Uh-huh.
We have two of the most nicest moms that would have ever walked the planet.
Oh, that's true. I did meet your mom at Farmer's Formal.
Oh,
Molly.
You did?
She
okay.
was darling.
Yeah.
So we got to get that out of the way.
Yay!
St. Mary and St. Kathy.
Wow. So funny.
Yeah.
All right.
I like
Earth
it.
Dance Farm and School. In Ferguson, Missouri, since 1883.
So we would want to say Earth Dance,
Okay.
Earth Dance Organic Farm School.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And it's been there a long time.
The farm has been there a long time. The farm was established in 1883 by the Miller family.
And who are Al and Caroline Miller? Is it Miller or Mueller?
Well, people say both, so you choose your pronunciation, but Caroline said Miller, so I'll say Miller. So Al and Caroline were the couple that owned and farmed the land prior to Earth Dance, farming there, as well as prior to a few other people who rented after them. Al was the third generation of Millers in his family, and he and Caroline kept it going from the time they married up until the time that Al passed away. And when he passed away and they didn't have any kids, there was nobody to keep the farm going. Caroline on her own couldn't keep it going. And so she started renting the land out by the acre. And there was a gentleman, John Wilkerson, who took her up on that offer. She posted an ad actually in the Missouri Organic Association newsletter. And it said organic farmland for rent. So John went and had the soil tested, which is what you do when you're starting a farm or a garden organically. And the lab said, where did this soil come from? This is some of the best soil we've ever seen. And so that is really in thanks to their decades of good soil stewardship practices. So he started renting the land in 2000. just an acre of it. A few others were came along the way, and I was reintroduced to the farm by meeting John at the Ferguson Farmers Market, actually a few years later, and just thought, you know, I thought there was a lot more that could be happening on that land, and the last thing I ever wanted to see was for it to, you know, get bulldozed and turned into even housing or worse, an industrial complex. It's such a good soil.
So it was organic before organic was cool.
Exactly. Exactly. Actually, and Al and Caroline never did the certification because they thought, why should we have to pay the government for a label that we've been doing long before there was any sort of legislation? So, so they called their farm the Miller Organic Farm. And we as Earth Dance, now with the National Organic Program, felt that it was important to go ahead and go through the certification process. So now we are a certified organic farm as well.
And so you talked about the first time you were seeing the farm, you were with your dad, Ralph Rockerman.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, at that point in time, he was a huge proponent of Ferguson. So this is almost like paying it forward in regards to everything he was doing with his life. And then he shows you this farm.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, fast forward 2 decades later, the Rockermans are still very vital in the Ferguson community. Mm.
Yeah. My dad grew up in Ferguson and his heart is still there. And yeah, he has a business, as I'm sure maybe some of your listeners will know, Sports Print, that he established when he was in his early 20s. And even when he and my mom moved away from Ferguson, they kept the business there and it's still thankfully based there. So he's definitely, his heart is there. I never thought I would be in Ferguson, to be honest. I grew up primarily in Creve Coeur, but I really never thought I'd stay in St. Louis. I went away to college in Florida and really love being near the ocean, but it is thanks to that farm that I felt the need to come back and bloom where I was planted.
So you graduate from high school where?
I went to St. Joe.
You went to St. Joe. And where'd you go to college?
Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Near the ocean.
Near the ocean.
And in an effort to learn what it is you know, you really did some extensive traveling. I read Florida, California, Fiji, Ghana. What do we learn outside of the United States that you can't learn in the United States? Is there such a thing?
Oh my gosh, that is such a great question. And there's so much to be learned. And I think a lot of it boils down to getting out of our comfort zones. And it's not necessarily, while you can learn different techniques of farming and different food preparations and, of course, different cultural practices, to me, the biggest thing that you learn when you not just travel overseas, but when you live overseas is a different way to be in the world and a different way to view the world. So if it hadn't been actually for moving and living outside the country for a while, I don't know that I actually would have come back to St. Louis because I maybe would have stayed on the coast or something in California or Florida. But it was actually seeing how in so many parts of the world, people will do anything to support their families and people will, sure, they might need to, because of economic reasons, go and move outside of the country to make money, but then they'll still send the money back home to their families and they'll still do whatever they can to support their families. So if it hadn't been for my dad asking me to come to work at Sports Print back in 2007, which I really was, it was not my career path for sure. I was an environmental studies major and wanted to do outdoor and environmental education. But if it hadn't been for having lived overseas and seen that, you know, this is my own dad asking me to do this and he's put his whole life into making a good life for us kids, I offered him 6 months of my time. It wasn't that long. And he said, you know, you're just going to be learning the business in 6 months. If you want to make any changes, you're going to need to stay for a year. And he knew that I'd want to make changes. So I ended up staying for a year and a half before I left to start Earth Dance.
He got me my first sales job.
He did.
With that little Ferguson newspaper.
Oh, yeah. The Ferguson Focus.
I think so.
Ferguson that Focus. Predates the Ferguson Times now.
Got me gas money. Aww. Got me date money.
Absolutely. Very important things for a young person.
So, Tiana, give me your background a little bit.
I grew up in Ferguson, Florissant, been there all of my life. I went through the Ferguson-Florissant School District, Griffith Elementary School, Ferguson Middle, to McClure High School. After I graduated high school, I went to the University of Missouri-Columbia. So Mizzou, I'm seeing a lot of things that remind me of the university here in this room. So the Mizzou blanket, the Shakespeare pizza. I feel at home. Go Tigers.
And when did you graduate? So
I graduated Mizzou, I think 2018.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I guess just recently. I don't know. Was it recently? I don't know. I'm 25, but I feel like that was like a million years ago. Mm-hmm. But when I went to college, especially with undergrad, I came in as a journalism major. It was the number one J school. And at that time, I wanted to be this Black Carrie Bradshaw in New York. So I did not want to.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. Sex and the City. My jam. Carrie Bradshaw always had my heart. But I had this internship for KETS through Teen Vogue. So they flew me up to New York. And I remember just sitting like in the orientation and hating it because it just didn't speak to me. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, fashion and writing may not be my passion. But then I kind of found the environmental aspect in journalism. So I was like, well, maybe I'll work for National Geographic, you know, but then soon found out that writing is just not my passion at all. So that quickly changed for me. And I remember coming into this eco-feminism group at college, and I met this woman who definitely paved the pathway to my love for the environmental justice work. And I remember sitting in that meeting and just hearing all of their experiences with everything between food insecurity, not being able to grow their own food, being affected by lead poisoning that was in the soil or in their homes. And suddenly everything made sense, because I too had experienced those types of injustices, and I just never connected it to being environmentally unjust. So within that time, I changed my major of journalism to women's and gender studies, where I focused on environmental justice, particularly with looking at how Black mothers experience environmental justices, like lead poisoning, being food insecure, and how that affected their birth with child, as well as themselves. So in that time, I found all the words to, I think, explain or to give to the experiences that I have been facing all of my life. So now, fast forward, I got this job at Earth Dance, which I feel like it didn't fall in my lap, but then I feel like it fell in my lap because I was actually offered the youth educator position once I graduated college, but I didn't take it because I thought I was going to go to graduate school out of the country because I didn't want to stay in Missouri. And I didn't get into any college out of Missouri, but WashU. So I'm here doing my public health degree, and then the opportunity arose to be the youth educator at Earth Dance. And it was in that time, I felt like this is purposeful. This is where I'm supposed to be, right? Because I knew that this education that I received at Mizzou could benefit and impact my community if I stayed and did the work. And being able to do it at Earth Dance and through Earth Dance is something that I truly feel is meant for me. I didn't want to stay here. I did not. Mm-hmm. I tried my hardest to leave. But literally just full circle came around and I'm meant to be here. So, and ironically enough, my big mama lived across the street from Earth Dance. And she had her own garden. So it was just I don't know. Maybe it was serendipitous, but it's meant to be. So now I'm doing the work and I absolutely love it.
Molly, explain to me Open Space Council.
Open Space Council is a great nonprofit organization in the St. Louis region that's dedicated to conserving open land and water resources. And we partnered with them early in Earth Answers' existence, they were our nonprofit kind of fiscal sponsor. So before I realized that we really needed to become our own independent organization, they were, you know, helped us attain nonprofit status to get our first few grants and donations. And then they also helped us acquire the farm. So we were initially just leasing an acre of the farm a year at a time on a single year lease. And of course, you can imagine that that's not a very secure land base to be on when you're actually growing things that you want to be able to harvest, not just that single season. Mm-hmm. We needed to make an investment in irrigation. We wanted to plant fruit trees. We needed to do all these things for the long-term good of growing food. And by acquiring the land instead of just leasing it, we were able to do that thanks to the Open Space Council.
And there are 14 acres on the farm?
Yeah.
And you use three of them so far?
Yeah, we use more than three, I would say. There's maybe three in outdoor production, probably even a little bit less than that, to be honest, because our beds are all so closely managed that's really how much we can currently mm-hmm. work on with our staff. But then there's woods, there's a prairie garden, there's mm-hmm. There's a persimmon grove, there's buildings, there's a parking area. So there's a lot of it, I would say, in use, more probably about half that's actually in regular routine use.
And how many different varieties of stuff are we got going on now?
Oh, I love that question. And I want to look at our spreadsheet for this year to give you the specific answer, but I could confidently say at least 100, but usually we're closer to the 150 mark.
Wow. And livestock?
Livestock, we just have a few chickens. Yeah.
You raised your hand?
Yep, no, just chickens. one type, chickens.
Because they help with the soil, right?
Yeah, so it's funny. We actually like to talk about the chickens as being collaborators in this organic farming work, not just as producing eggs, because the byproducts that the chickens offer us might be the eggs and their manure, which is great fertilizer. Mm-hmm. But they're actually doing a lot of pest management for us. They're actually eating things like squash bug eggs and helping turn the soil over a little bit.
They
yeah.
Those. Yeah.
And so they're really great foragers in a lot of ways.
So today is March 18th, 2020. Can't really have a conversation about food without talking a little bit about the coronavirus. You deal with a lot of restaurants. You've forgotten more about what you do than I know. So how is this affecting your world?
It is affecting our world in so many ways. So, yeah, as you mentioned, restaurants are one of the places where Earth Answers food goes. And currently, I think the vast majority of restaurants in St. Louis are needing to close for dine-in, at least. A lot of them are open for curbside pickup, and we encourage folks to do that to keep those restaurants in business. So, yeah, knowing that our produce, less of it is going there, we are donating more, and we're also donating more because we know there's a real need. This is affecting so many sectors, not just the food industry. This is affecting healthcare, obviously. It's also affecting people who can't work in their places of employment and don't necessarily even have paid time off. And so they have less means to feed their families with. So mm-hmm. One specific thing we're doing, actually just yesterday, Tiana and I were both on the harvest crew, bringing in 196 and a half pounds of spinach from our fields. And the majority of that is actually going to be bagged up today and tomorrow and delivered to various bus stops in the Ferguson-Florissant School District, where they are proactively have thought through how do they feed the kids in the school district without the free school lunch program in the schools going on, because the schools are closed, of course, starting today. And so they came up with this ingenious idea, I thought, of actually the cafeteria workers are still making lunches and putting them in brown bags and then having drop-off points, distribution points near where the kids would be going to take the bus anyway. So it's outdoors, so there's way less chance of any sort of of viral transmission, but also that they're reachable in the kids' neighborhoods, as opposed to, you know, they couldn't obviously get to school without the bus anyways.
Is your industry giving you any insight on what to expect 2 months from now, 3 months from now?
So sorry, I realized I didn't make the connection before about the getting our produce to this, the kids in the school district. And so Earth Dance will be meeting those children and their families at those bus stop points and offering bags of spinach so that they can also have fresh vegetables to go home with, as opposed to just what's in the bag lunch.
Tiana, anything you can add?
No, I'm so grateful that those things are happening, because so many of the people in our community, especially the kids, rely on those lunch meals that they otherwise will not be getting since they are out of school. So I'm very grateful that they have come up with this plan, and that Earth Dance is also contributing in that way, because it really does go a long way, as well as become very impactful. So
back to the farm, Molly. Talk to me about the school. Help me understand what the school aspect of the farm is.
So the school aspect, we call ourselves an organic farm school because that is our first and foremost product. When people ask what we grow farmers, we grow gardeners, we grow community. There's a real need for more people to understand and learn how to grow these skills. Today, the occupation of being a farmer is so rare that it's no longer even on the U.S. Census. And so there was actually an article in Time magazine about, is the small family farmer in America an endangered species, or are farmers going extinct in our country? And that set off a real alarm. I mean, I've known of this issue. I've been working in this issue, but it's the idea that we can no longer have small family farmers growing our food is an idea that isn't going to work in our current climate. When you asked how is this coronavirus affecting our industry, I think it's going to actually really underscore the importance of local food systems, because as people are rushing to the grocery stores and buying up everything they can off the shelves, and there's a bit of a hoarding mentality happening because of fear and because of really a lot of unknowns, which, you know, none of us know what's going to happen in the next few days, few weeks, few months to come. And so what we need more than anything at this time is to be of mutual aid to each other, because as a group, we can survive much more easily than we can individually. And I see that playing out with regards to small scale family farms, and that we are still producing crops. We are still going to be raising animals. We are carrying on, you know, farming work happens outdoors, not in close social areas. And so we're going to keep growing food, and people need it, obviously. And so one real silver lining I see coming out of this is that I hope that more people are actually going to go directly to the farmers to meet their needs, instead of relying on all the distribution systems that are so complex that they're actually really fragile. And having that direct connection with a farmer is going to be potentially our lifeline.
And you have an affiliation with the University of Missouri St. Louis.
We do. Right. So, people who want to come and learn from the school, from our organic farm school, by taking classes with our farm and garden apprenticeship program can also actually get college credit for that at UMSL.
You talked about growing farmers. Talk to me about the Blue Bell Farm.
So Blue Bell Farm is run by Jamie and Derek Bryant. And Jamie did the apprenticeship program back in 2010. And that was, I think, in its seventh generation, but the previous two generations to Derek hadn't actively been farming it or living there themselves. They'd been renting it out primarily to commodity growers like corn, soy, and wheat. And it was Derek and Jamie's dream together to actually get that farm activated in their family again. And so it's a really beautiful story of people who even grew up, I think they both grew up in the suburbs or in an urban area in St. Louis, and are going back to having a rural lifestyle and want to actually reinvigorate a family farm. So they're not only proud alumni and part of our extended family, as we like to say, they're also just a really great example of what I think more of is going to be happening in agriculture.
In the sports world, the head coaches always talk about their legacy. Mm. And they talk about not so much what they've accomplished, because at that point in time when they're answering that question, they've accomplished a lot. But they talk about the people who learned underneath them and how great of a contribution those guys made. That's going to be pretty, especially at how young you are, that's going to be pretty exciting that you've already got people down the road learning from you and then teaching others from them. You're going to have a pretty impressive triangle by the time this thing's over.
Thank you. Well, and I don't see it as a triangle either. If anything, I see myself maybe in the soil, in the root zone, and that there are so, like, I'm part of this big tree, if you will. And there's so many other people connected to this tree that is Earth Dance, that is producing a lot of fruit for our region. And also just really, I'm trying to remember which tree it is that's literally connected. Well, all my psyllium is connected in the soil. So it's almost like more mycelium, maybe I should say, rather than a tree, because it's really a web. And while I hope that people are able to learn from me at Earth Dance, there are a really amazing group of people who all educate. So right now, for example, we have Ray and Jenna as our farm managers. Autumn was brought onto the farm team this year. I've already seen her educate. She's already educated me firsthand, making sure I cut the spinach higher than I was cutting it yesterday. So it's a very team effort.
Tina, I'm going to come to you in a second, but before I don't forget, so Steven is in Boston now going to school.
Aww.
And when we moved him up, took a tour of Fenway Park.
Uh-huh.
Long story short, they did some reconstruction. They had some eyesight sores for the local businesses around. They created a garden next to the air conditioners on the roof.
Uh-huh.
They now only use those vegetables and those fruit for everything that is made in Fenway Park.
No way.
I'm serious. It blew my mind.
That's got to be producing a lot of food then. That's incredible.
At the time, they told you how much it was, but it's an example of, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So they expanded on Fenway. They had neighbors complaining about the eyesore. They thought, what can we do with this space?
Oh.
And from there, they've created this, and it's going
That's
to be
fantastic.
There forever. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So when people come to school, is there one thing that nobody gets until they start to go to school and learn about?
And you mean farm school?
Yeah.
Is there something that they don't get?
That surprises them, or that it's the one thing, you know, the light bulb's going to go off when they figure out this?
Oh, well, if you're in high school, it's like that a lot of our produce comes from the dirt. So whenever you're like talking to them about how a potato grows, or like where a carrot grows, you know, their mind goes all interesting, fascinating places. But it's not until they actually come and visit the farm and they are pulling that carrot out, or that they're digging for those potatoes, that there's like, oh my God, like, you know, my food actually does come from the soil, right? And it's such a, I don't know, it's a beautiful thing when you see them realize like how their food is growing and how it's being produced. Because I would say even myself, before I became who I am today, I was very disconnected when it came to like our food system. You know, livestock is one thing, but also like growing fruits and vegetables, you can also be very disconnected in that as well. So I would definitely say that, because a lot of them say, I don't eat things that come from the dirt. And then I'm like, but you really do, because you like those like French fries, don't you? So it's always wonderful to share that type of knowledge with them.
So you said they, but The listener isn't going to know who they is.
So I would say, my job at Earth Dance as the youth educator, one of my main jobs is to run our summer youth employment program called Junior Farm Crew. And if I was to just like kind of explain it in maybe a couple of seconds, I would say it's this amazing 8-week program that houses 10 youth. And basically we're teaching them the ins and outs of what it means to grow your own food and what that can do for you, because a lot of the times they may come from generations that have farmed, right? But it's been lost for systemic reasons, and so bringing that back and making them and exposing them to growing food, to the nutrition benefit of growing your food and eating that food, kind of exposes them to start to think about why is it important that I grow my own food? What is the economic benefit in that? How would it benefit my community and my family? So they get to work with the farmers all summer long. They're taking nutrition and wellness classes, as well as workshop classes and their finances. They are working with world-renowned chefs, and they're learning how to cook the food that they're growing and that they're harvesting, right? Because we want to make sure that growing something is one thing, but also knowing how to harvest it and cooking it is another, and it's also very much so more impactful. So just working with them during that 8-week program is just amazing, because every time they come out, they're inspired to start a farm, I wouldn't say a farm because that's probably a little bit more ambitious, but gardening, whether that's growing a tomato plant in their backyard or in their windowsill, at least trying to.
Well, and some have wanted to start farms. Like one of them was talking about starting a farm at his church, and another one helped his grandmother start a garden.
Yes. True. I didn't hear about those, I guess because this is my first year, but I did get through reading some of the applications yesterday for our new 2020 crew. And majority of all of them are looking for a career in outdoor nature or agriculture work. So I do believe that in this time that we're in with like knowing what growing food is or all these other companies that are growing food unjustly, like people are becoming attuned to it and they're starting to ask questions about it. And Earth Dance, I think, is in a very lucky spot to be in Ferguson, and people are taking notice of it.
I think anything that gets the kids off the couch, I'm in favor of. get them outside.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, not trying to make a joke, but it might be a buyer's market for people 5-10 years from now getting educated by you and having very little competition in the market for what they know and understand.
Yeah, I think that the demand for local organic food is only going to be increasing in years to come. So, you know, I know a lot of young people are often looking at what kind of career can I make good money at, and farming is not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind. In fact, if anything, you don't think you're going to make much money. But I think that's one of the perceptions that we're hoping to change. When you are not just farming hard, farming smart, there's certain crops that you can grow better and have better kind of shelf life on, I guess I would say. When I say shelf life, it doesn't sit on the shelf long. But for example, when you think about how so many of our vegetables are being shipped across the country, sometimes even from around the world, how jet lagged that produce is by the time it gets to us. You know, it's a little dehydrated. It's not so vibrant. Mm-hmm. It's how you might feel if you travel that far.
It doesn't taste all that good either.
And it really doesn't have that real fresh flavor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if instead you can offer a superior product, you can get somewhat of a premium for it. But also, I just think that we're not going to actually be seeing as much food available brought in from so far because of what's happening right now. I think we really need to look at how we can produce as much food where we are living. And we need to, you know, do that sooner than later.
If you were to guess, and I don't know the answer to this, but if you were to guess, how much has farming declined in the last 2 decades?
Well, it's interesting because the last 2 decades in particular, there's been, it's almost like there's two different lines on the graph, you know, on the X and Y axis of, on one hand, there's a lot of interest in young women, actually, is the fastest growing sector, not just young, but I would say there's a lot of young people getting into farming, and a lot of those young people are women. And a lot of them aren't necessarily people who grew up on farms themselves. A lot of them come at it from maybe an environmentalist standpoint or a food security standpoint, and wanting to really reclaim our place in providing food for our families, providing food for ourselves and our communities. So that's happening concurrently with the fact that the average age of the American farmer is 58 and aging. And there's a lot of people who are in their 70s who are still farming because they haven't been able to pay off all their equipment yet. And right now, and not just right now, over the last year and a half, there's been a terrible crisis happening in small family farms, especially in the dairy industry, of farmers going out of business. And a lot of this is happening because of the corporatization of agriculture, of mega dairies, mega farms being built, buying up access to land. I mean, I think a lot of people have been seeing the writing on the wall longer than the general public in terms of real wealth comes in the form of land. And so we've been seeing land grabs happening, especially across the Midwest, by foreign-owned firms. And that means we're losing not only access to that land, but access to a way to provide for ourselves. So a lot of these things are happening simultaneously. So it's I don't want to simplify to say, oh, over the last two decades, there's just been a decline in farmers. Because at the same time, there's been an increase. And at the same time, there's just a lot of factors. There's a lot of policy happening that's both making it harder to farm. And then there's some, thankfully, there's some small programs that the USDA is coming out with to support a localized food system as well.
Well, not to pry, but how do you financially sustain?
Earth Dance?
Yes.
So Earth Dance is a nonprofit. And that means we rely on contributions to make our ends meet. We have an annual operating budget this year of about $900,000, close to $1 million. And a lot of that goes to cover the staff cost of actually doing this much education, doing this much outreach, doing this much production of food. And then, you know, some people say, wait, you're a farm school and you're charging people tuition to learn how to farm? Yes, in fact, we are, because as any university or school knows, it costs a lot to teach people and to teach them well. And it's not as simple as people just coming there and pulling weeds. And, you know, we're standing there saying that's the weed to pull and that one's not. There's a lot of intention, a lot of preparation, a lot of planning and effort that goes into making the Earth Dance apprenticeship an educational experience. So we do even receive a little bit of income from our program. So while people can get scholarships to our apprenticeship program, they do pay a little bit of tuition. And then we do sell some of our produce as well, although we're also donating more and more of it. And so this is where we rely on donations and fundraisers to actually keep our farm gates open.
And what was the size of the last graduating class?
We had about 30 people graduate. Impressive. Yeah, we've had over 370 people over our first 11 years.
And folks can donate online. I saw that.
They, of course, can. And in fact, we're opening up all the avenues so people can Cash App us, people can Venmo us, people can find us on our website, earthdancefarms.org. And yeah, there's a lot of need for what we're doing right now.
When is the Farmers Formal?
Farmers Formal is going to be Friday, October 2nd this year. And so we encourage folks to mark their calendars, and we'll be announcing the location soon, as well as sharing hopefully all the wonderful chefs and farmers who will be participating this year. It's a really exciting and unique fundraiser in that people in the food community are coming together to share what's fresh, what's in season, and what's local. And so you're not just getting, you know, the typical rubber chicken on a plate dinner at a round table. You're actually sitting at farm style tables, meeting new people, walking around, meeting chefs, talking to the farmers who supply those chefs. It's a really multi-sensory experience.
Wow. Check out the vocab on it. Got any plans for Earth Day?
Well, I like to spend Earth Day on our farm, the actual day, April 22nd, if possible.
Because there's an anniversary coming up, right?
There is. Yeah, it is. I believe, is this the 40th anniversary of Earth Day?
I think I saw there was a anniversary. I'm not
1970.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, it's the 50th anniversary. 50th. Yeah, it is the big 50 of the actual designation of April 22nd being Earth Day in the United States. And unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, the big Earth Day festival that we always participate in has been postponed. Hopefully it's not canceled altogether. Usually we offer free organic farm school classes both days of that festival. But, you know, the thing for us is that Earth Day is every day. We're growing food, we're planting trees, we're protecting the environment, we're looking out for the pollinators. We're not allowing any pesticides that are going to damage people or the planet. We're not doing that any day of the year. So people can, you know, you can choose any day of the year to come out and experience Earth Day at Earth Dance.
And you can rent out the pavilion.
You can. Yeah, actually, that's a way of supporting what we do. There is a beautiful community pavilion that was made possible by the Dick McBride family and many others as well. And we have this available for rent if you want to have your next rehearsal dinner or family gathering or community event there. Of course, again, once this social distancing is past us.
Tiana, anything to add?
No.
Mm-mm. We've covered it all. Here's what this is what I think is most interesting as somebody who knew very little before reaching out and setting this up. It does seem like the timing's important. Mm-hmm. It seems like you've already gotten a 5-year head start on what other people are going to be trying to play catch up on because of the need to be able to know where the stuff is coming from, the ability to know, not to order what they want per se, but to kind of understand what's abundant for them mm-hmm. and what's not, going to change some menus, I would imagine. You know, when you work with as many people as you work with in the community, I'm talking about restaurants, mm-hmm. how much of a tutelage or a give or take is it with the restaurants that you help with?
So it's really interesting. So when we first started out, you know, there was a few chefs in town that were sourcing from local farmers. And now there's such a large community of chefs that have been brought up in that, brought up in culinary, in the trade sense, been brought up in that environment where it's really amazing the education that a lot of these chefs already come to us with. So the farmers actually meet with them over the winter and go through the seed catalogs, and some of them pick out specific varieties they're looking at. And then it also is totally a two-way education throughout the growing season. So for example, the restaurant Vicia not only purchases, you know, baby kale, they also purchase it when it's more mature. And they also even purchase what we call kale trees when it's at the end of its life cycle. And they use that as part of their interesting vegetable forward cuisine. So they wouldn't have known about that product offering even did we not have this regular two-way communication about what's happening in the high tunnels, what's happening in the fields, what they can look for. And, you know, we just, St. Louis is very fortunate to have such creative chefs that can actually mm-hmm. take something that you wouldn't think would be useful for, you know, a dinner plate, such as chard stems, and actually pickle them and make a beautiful accompaniment to the meal. So there's a lot of chefs doing really cool things.
And for the stuff you don't graciously give away, they can be seen, your stuff can be seen at Ferguson Farmers Market?
Ferguson Farmers Market is the place to find our produce. We are also going to be having a bit more of a pop-up farmers market style at Christian Northeast Hospital as well. So that'll be coming new this year. And then, like I said, yeah, we donate to our local school district. We also supply sometimes to our local school district's salad bars.
Just good things everywhere you look in regards to the results you're getting and the fact that I can't imagine people who work in that farm are not passionate about that farm. It doesn't seem like a 9-to-5 kind of a job.
That's exactly right. In fact, as Tiana and I were driving away from the farm today, we noticed two of our coworkers, you know, keeping a distance again right now, but going for a walk outside, checking out the rain garden in the front yard, wanting to showcase on a rainy day like today what's actually happening outside. And so I think not only are people passionate about the good food movement and the work, but these are people who see the value of working somewhere where you can go on a walk and gain some peace in your day. That's another thing that I hope that this crisis moment is bringing more of us to. People are talking about social distancing, but what I want to put out there is let's talk about nature nearing and how do we actually bring ourselves outside more, get some fresh air, get some peace of mind. It's a really hard time to grapple with everything that's happening and try to make sense of it. And this is outside of everyone's comfort zone, what's happening right now. And there's, you know, all of the research in the world showing that spending time outside, spending time in nature does help you ground, does help you relax, lowers anxiety, lowers stress levels. So if there's one message I want to say besides know your farmer is also get near to nature right now.
Let's plug away. The website where they can donate is
earthdancefarms.org.
You're on Facebook?
Of course. Earth Dance Organic Farm School on Facebook. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. I don't know if we Snapchat. I'm a little old.
I need to look in a TikTok.
Oh, gosh, I'm dating myself already.
All right, ladies, thanks for the time. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. I want to thank the folks at Earth Dance Farm School, Molly and Tiana. Hope everybody learned a little bit moving forward. And I do think as we move forward, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to look into and have a different perspective on. Moving forward with this podcast, OT with Oliver, going to do some things a little differently. We've got interviews in the can. We've got stuff with Dan Buck and his folks at St. Louis Mills. We've got things coming up with Dan O'Neill, the Steamers. But really right now, if you want to, if you feel like it's important for people to know what you've got going on during this crisis, email me otwitholiver@gmail.com. We're not going to do a whole podcast, but we'll do 3 minutes, 5 minutes, kind of splice them all together and put them in episodes so that you can promote what you want people to know and people can come to this and hear what we've got going on as a community. If you don't want to, don't no sweat, no foul. And if you do, otwitholiver@gmail.com. Thanks for liking us on Facebook. Thanks for downloading the episodes. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for really, so far, we're still very, very young into this, but every week we seem to be getting more and more people listening. And for that, I am thankful. And as we do, thanks for your time this time. Till next time, so long.